Thank you very much. So I'm very happy to have the opportunity. So and today I will give one possibility of quantum black holes. In particular, I will explain entropy area rho from interior degrees of freedom at semi-classical level. So first question is this one. What is black hole? So we still don't know the answer because we have not observed directly inside structure, right? So, and we don't have a fully consistent theory by which we can resolve information problem. In that sense, we don't know the true answer. Here, one point I'm focusing on is this one. In the context of quantum theory, quantum gravity, the notion of continuous geometry should emerge only under certain limits. In this sense, our classical characterization of black hole, that is, geometrical notion of a horizon, may be approximated property of true picture of quantum black holes. On the other hand, the notion of information, for example, wave function or entropy, such notion is, by definition, quantum mechanical. So we can expect, maybe, a black hole should be characterized by, more properly, by this formula, entropy area rho. So here, A, capital A, is just 4 pi A squared. And in my talk, small a means short-lived radius, okay? And LP is the Planck length, and MP is Planck mass. So this is one of our characterization of the quantum black hole. So for example, we have our some object like this here. And if this object has very strong gravity, and if this has entropy following this formula, then according to this criterion, we can say, ah, this is black hole. This is my rule, right? So please be careful. I don't use a classical characterization of black holes. That is, I don't use horizon notion. So as a result, a horizon maybe appear as a result of the solution. So a priori, I don't assume existence of a horizon. Then, what is the origin? So a current main idea is maybe this one. Black hole is a gravitational bound state of some more fundamental degrees of freedom, which are responsible for the entropy. So indeed, many idea exist today. Strings, Fasmore, Black Hole, semi-classical mode, and spin network, or gravitons, etc. So many ideas are basically following this, this notion. In this context, there is a key question. Where do such degrees of freedom live? Naive answer is this one. They live around the surface. Because, you know, this is given by just an area. So this is very naive and natural answer. The other possibility is this one. They live inside somewhere. But some people might wonder, oh, in this case, the entropy should follow volume rho, right? Not area rho. Because these degrees of freedom living here inside. However, the key non-trivial fact exists this box. If you consider self-gravity of interior degrees of freedom, then the entropy law changes drastically. For example, if you consider a spherical thermal radiation, right? So, and if, so, furthermore, you consider its sort of gravity, then the entropy formula changes like this. So here, this one is just a volume law without sort of gravity, right? So here, capital R is just a radius of R. So, but if you consider the sort of gravity, this formula becomes like this. So non-trivial form. So in the following, I will try to consider this case too. And indeed, we will see a black hole is realized in this case. Okay, I will give my setup. I will consider a spherically symmetric and static black hole as a bound state of many semi-classical degrees of freedom, satisfying semi-classical Einstein equation. As you know, in this equation, gravity is just a classical metric, but matter is described by quantum matter fields. And the point is here, I don't specify the detail of our semi-classical degrees of freedom. I don't specify scalar field and fermion, Maxwell field, blah, blah. I don't specify detail. Just I assume they are satisfying this equation. And here, this bound state should have some finite size. This size is denoted capital R, and this size physically should be close to Schultz's radius, because otherwise the object E would be inconsistent with observational data, right? However, we have a very non-trivial question. How do such interior degrees of freedom behave inside? That is, what is the configuration? This question is very non-trivial. So, clearly, we could not answer it, this question. So, just a first trial, simple trial, I will focus on this configuration. That is, this configuration satisfy one, our uniform distribution in our direction, and two, it has semi-classically maximum acceleration. In the next slide, I will explain the details of these two, but under this condition, we will construct from now interior metric, this one. Okay, from now, I will explain the meaning of the first assumption, this one. Degrees of freedom are distributed inside uniformly in the radial proper length, all hot in this way. This is just an intuitive picture, just an intuitive picture. So, and this one pocket represents some excitation of semi-classical degrees of freedom. So this uniformness means intuitively such excitation is there in a very clean way, right? But why? What is the motivation? The first, this is just practically very simple. We can calculate it, something from based on this assumption. So this is practical reason. And the second one is non-trivial. Suppose we have, please.
Thank you. I'm not sure why that is obvious, because as you go out in radius, you've got more and more area around which you could distribute additional degrees of freedom. So why would I expect them to be uniformly distributed in just the radial direction?
Thank you very much. I think I could answer your question by this second motivation. So now, first, we have our small black hole in a heat bath, but this small black hole is still in classical level, right? And then we can change temperature and the size of the heat bath very slowly. Then the black hole will grow up so slowly. This grow up corresponds to reversible process in thermodynamics. And then in my previous work, this one, I showed such a black hole takes our similar distribution. That is, our interior takes some uniform distribution in our direction. Right. This is some kind of a mathematical result. But maybe some people don't understand that point. So here, I just put one assumption, and then we will see that happens mathematically, right? And in the context of thermodynamics, such a reversible process is fundamental because at each step, the system is in equilibrium. So that configuration is statistically maximum cases, right? So in this sense, this object, this configuration should be thermodynamical typical. But I don't use the detail of the formation process in the following. I just put this condition. And the second condition is this one. Accelerated required to stay at R is semi-classically maximum. This is the acceleration. And from the uniformness condition, R here is should be constant. But the value is given by like this. LP is the Planck length. C is some order one quantity, which is much larger than one. So in this sense, this value is semi-classically maximum. But why? The first motivation is simple. In the universe, in our universe, a black hole should have maximum gravity. So for example, if you calculate this acceleration in the Schwarzschild metric, and if the geometrically hard horizon at Schwarzschild radius are like a usual classical case, then the acceleration diverge are like this. So in this sense, black hole should have maximum acceleration, and it is characterized by this acceleration by the equivalence principle. And the second motivation is similar to what I said in the previous slide. That is, in the context of quantum gravity, the minimal resolution of continuum space-time should be Planck length. On the other hand, time scale at R is given by 1 over acceleration. So combining these two gives this R form. But I don't claim this is a derivation, just a motivation, right? Then here, I will show the main result. Based on the two conditions, we will see this configuration is indeed realized as a self-consistent solution of semi-classical Einstein equation. Here, there is no horizon or singularity. And two, in this self-consistent geometry, the area of holes exactly for any interior degrees of freedom. Here, a small sr represents entropy density per proper radius length. This entropy density indeed will be evaluated by thermodynamical law. So, of course, thermodynamics hold for any kind of degrees of freedom. So in that sense, this result is so universal. The point is, in this calculation, dynamics of gravity plays very non-trivial role in changing entropy from the volume law to the area law. We will see this point.
Excuse me. So
yes.
I couldn't don't really understand the assumption accelerations. So what does it mean by maximum? Or is it, does it, it doesn't depend on R at all? Or
here, from the first assumption, it is a constant.
Okay. And then it's very big?
Yeah, very large. Because 1 over LP Planck length is so large, right?
But if I have a normal black hole, then I have surface gravity, and it's
so big. Oh, okay, thank you very much. Yes, the point, later I will give the precise definition of alpha, I'm sorry. So this alpha means a proper acceleration. Sorry, not different from our surface gravity. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yes. Thank you. Yes, and this is my plan. The discussion is self-consistent. In the section one, I will construct a candidate interior metric. The point is, at this stage, this is just a candidate. I don't claim yet this is a solution, just a candidate, right? And in section two, we will study quantum field theory on this background geometry. And then we will show the degrees of freedom behaves like thermal state. And three, we derive entropy area by using these properties. And finally, we will check the self-consistency through semi-classical Einstein equation. Then our story will be closed self-consistently. Okay? Okay, let's construct interior metric. First, let's suppose n quanta with 1 bit of information and a local energy epsilon local around R like this. So excitation is here, and each one has one bit. And the width is just delta R hat, just the order like this. And of course, according to quantum mechanics, each one has this wavelength. In this setup, we can use general formula of ADN mass, this one, to show ADN mass of a 1-bit quantum has this form, epsilon local over root GRR.
Sorry, I'm bringing up my previous question. Why should we expect this information to be uniformly distributed in the radial direction? I see no reason if we have, you know, the spheres becoming bigger as we move out. I don't, what does it mean? You know, R is just one direction. Also, we don't know what the volume is if we don't know GRR. What about all, you know, the angular degrees of freedom?
Mm-hmm. Because the system is spherically symmetric.
Right, but why would you expect it to be the same distribution as you go out in the radial direction?
So, you see, the point is, In my brain, I'm considering this procedure, right? So and you see in the according to your thermodynamics, the system is controlled in a very universal way. In this case, you have just one parameter, just the mass, right? So that mass gives some universal property. In particular, near the surface, because here, near the surface, a proper acceleration approaches to very large value, right? But this large value should come not from that mass. Then, behind that mechanism, something universal property should appear. That could be related to quantum nature, right? So, for example, if you calculate, that acceleration for this distance, a plus LP squared over a, this fluctuation corresponds to fluctuation of Hawking temperature, right? This is just a h bar over a, right? So this at around here, that acceleration close to Planck scale, right? So you see in the current precision of the observation, we don't know what happens around that region. So something special might occur. So you cannot remove that possibility. This is my standpoint.
But black holes rotate. So I mean, spherical symmetry is incredibly idealized. So
I understand. Yes. I agree. Your more physical point of view. I agree. Yes. But just a moment. In the last section, are four-dimensional dynamics, not two-dimensional dynamics. Four-dimensional dynamics will play very important role in this picture. Is 4D dynamics include fluctuations of modes with arbitrary angular momentum. That fluctuation indeed support this idea. Yes. And next, furthermore, by using the famous third experiments by Bekenstein in 1973, and using our first uniform condition, then we can show again the ADM energy of 1 bit information corresponds to this order. Then we can use these two expressions, we get this wavelength. Then we can estimate entropy density like this. We just divide this capital N by the width delta R hat, but physically this width should be the same order of this wavelength. So we have this expression. Here we use again uniformness. That means this entropy density is constant. This constant requires us our GRR metric is proportional to R squared. Sigma is some constant. And finally, we can evaluate total entropy simply just like this. So put here, and you get this form. Yes.
A local kind of entropy density in that location?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. And then here we demand this entropy, total entropy, proportional to area rho, like this. We demand. Then we got this expression. GRR is given by R squared over 2 sigma, but the sigma is order n times LP squared. So we will determine this parameter sigma and the eta by solving Einstein equation later. This is just a now free parameter. Okay, to determine our GTT component, we use yes.
So SL, local entropy density, but so it's like a shell of this.
Yes. So for example, you are focusing on here R, right? So in the this around this R, you can measure on entropy density per Clipper length. Yes. Okay. Thank you for your question. So okay. Let's again. So this alpha is given by this order. But for calculation, I introduce another constant, eta. So using this eta, I parameterize this behavior like this. C is the order one, and sigma is obtained like this. So combination n times eta square is order one. Anyway, from this equality, you can just integrate this equation using the previous result. You can get this Gaussian form. A0 is an integration constant. As I said, later, two parameters will be fixed. In this way, we reached our this form, candidate interior metric. Oh. So this metric has interesting properties, two properties. One is our interior is not fluid. So using Einstein equation, you can check each component of energy momentum tensor like this. So energy density is positive, and radial pressure is proportional to the energy density, but depend on eta. However, motivated by stability of the star light, so the pressure should be positive. So if you require this as a positive, eta are satisfy this inequality. Then from this box and this inequality, we can conclude eta itself is order one, but large value. And non-trivial point is here. Tangential pressure is very large. In fact, it is almost Planckian because this is order one. This large value is very large compared to this radial pressure. So in this sense, locally inside is very anisotropic, so not fluid. But at this stage, physically, this large pressure can support degrees of freedom against gravity. The second remarkable property is, are these hearts finite curvatures? That is, no singularity. So semi-classically, a maximum curvature appears like this. And please, yes.
What is n?
Ah, thank you. So n is at this stage, just this n, just this n. However, eventually we will see that n measures degrees of freedom of the theory. So for example, if you have maxillary field, then n corresponds to two polarization, two, right? Yeah, yeah. And for example, you have n scalar fields, and then the n is that n, right? Something like that, intuitively. But depending on the theory, that n determines dynamics, that is, by solving Einstein equation. You cannot set n by hand.
Sorry, can
yes.
It looks like the space is locally flat, barring from zero.
Sorry again?
It looks like the space isn't flat.
Flat.
R goes to zero in a neighborhood of R equals zero.
Ah.
Because your radial proper distance near R equals zero is R squared, right?
So yeah, you're right.
Yeah?
Yes.
So the area of the spheres is going just like the proper distance rather than proper distance squared. So it's not locally flat at the origin.
So around the origin, as you were saying, yeah, here, square of this part corresponds to a proper length, right? So, and around R equals zero, are as you're saying, so almost flat around the zero.
But it's not because you've got R squared, d omega squared. So that's not locally flat, is it? Am I just in a different room here or something?
Okay, that's
here.
Does curvature blow up at R equal to zero? So if these things at R equal to zero, do they go to?
For example, here?
Oh, yeah, TTT goes to infinity, right? Yeah. So that cannot be flat then,
no.
Right? So there is a singularity at R equal to zero.
Yeah, yeah. However, in this setup is based on semi-classical argument. So I'm sorry, I don't say about this point. My description is valid only this region.
So say that something else happens.
Yeah, yeah. So however, using this result and ADN mass formula, you can estimate how much energy inside or around our singular region. And then you can see this small region contains just a order of Planck mass. So could be such a small region with small mass and Planck mass energy realized as some regular quantum gravity state. So my description can be applied to almost all region of the interior of the black hole, except such small part.
Of course, you could say the same thing about the Schwarzschild metric. There is no singularity as long as you stay away from R equals zero.
No. Please be careful. So in the vacuum Schwarzschild metric case, if you calculate similarly our ADN mass inside here, and that you have this mass itself, right? Oh, I see. So, and my case is a curvature. Yeah. Kretschmann, for example, Kretschmann invariant is something I forgot. M squared of 4. This is right? No. I forgot the value. Kretschmann of the 6. I think so. Yeah. Or 3? Yeah. Anyway, so if you focus on R close to LP, and the curvature is so large. So large means compared to Planck scale curvature. But in my case, it has still in the within the semi-classical regime. So in that sense, the level of singularity is so mild in this case. Because intuitively, the total energy is in some sense spreaded in the space region in this case. This configuration comes from this large pressure. This large pressure support each part of the degrees of freedom, right? Against ingoing gravity. Then the center of singularity is a little bit regularized.
It's okay. I think I hadn't quite appreciated that very bottom line, that you're not trying to claim you can go right down to R equals zero.
Yeah, yeah.
You stop short, but you have ameliorated the divergence of curvature by putting matter, whatever it is, yeah.
So here I should say, as you're saying, so the small center region cannot be described this theory, semi-classical theory, but that small region should be controlled by a realistic model of quantum gravity, I think. Yeah. So but almost all part of the interior structure can be described this semi-classical one. That is my claim. Okay, I should go first. Sorry. So, and for the exterior region, I will set just a shortest metric because the energy density is much smaller than interior region. So I will neglect back reaction of vacuum polarization. Then I can use this one. And then we connect this one and this one at here, capital R. Then we can determine integration constant like this and our the precise position of the surface like this, green one. This green one has this to the power distance. As you can see, as the order, it is larger than Planck length. So in the semi-classical level, this small, looks like a small, but it is physically meaningful in the semi-classical level. So we can conclude the bound state has no horizon and looks like a classical black hole from the outside. Because, see, the first term is much, much larger than the second one. So approximately from the outside, it is just a usual black hole from the outside people. In this sense, this object is a candidate of black hole. Okay.
Did you already
yes.
Property that this maximal acceleration thing or?
Sorry, did you say again?
You already used the maximal.
Yes, I used. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I can show again. Here. The second property is I use here. Alpha equal 1 over C. And this C is parameterized this dimensionless constant eta.
I don't have any good intuition about this condition, but in the normal, I mean, short shield, I will eventually reach the singularity, right? No matter what I do in a normal short shield. So by setting like some bound on the acceleration, it's almost same as saying there is no singularity, right? I mean, it is possible to avoid the singularity. Right? I mean, you can stay at location R by this acceleration.
They
I'm saying that, but
okay, yeah.
From the beginning of your construction, it seems like you're assuming there shouldn't be any singularity in your solution. And yeah, I mean, that's just my observation.
Okay. Yes. So, and in fact, this acceleration and the curvature are closely related, but a dynamically different object, right? So, and your point is a very nice point, I think. And I previously before this work, I reached the same picture by very different calculations. So in that case, I don't assume something like this. Yeah. More dynamically, we can reach the same picture. So I will mention that point later. Yeah. But to me, eventually, that two assumptions could be essence, I think. Yeah. And that two are more easier to control for this argument. Yes, in the section two, we will do a quantum field theory in this curved geometry. And then we will see naturally degrees of freedom behaves like a thermal state. The first, intuitively, this object is spherical symmetric and uniform. So we can consider it something like a continuous and concentric or stacking of spherical excitations like spherical shells like this. And according to this intuitive picture, we can see our each shell accelerates due to its self-gravity. This is the acceleration. This is a constant. And this is almost Planckian because this capital L defined like this and order is this one. So again, our acceleration near Planckian. And the interesting point is here, the interior metric is locally ADS2 times S2. In fact, you can calculate scalar curvature like this. Here, the leading one is the form of ADS curvature, a scalar curvature, right? So, but it has a correction term, 1 over R squared. So in this sense, this is ADS2 times S2. More precisely, it is a Wappel product of ADS and S2. And this argument can be done at each R. So interior is continuous stacking of ADS2 times S2. Now, we have our general result on this one, that is, our accelerating observer in the ADS type geometry fields our Unruh temperature. This is a general formula. And in our case, this alpha is this alpha u, so this is a temperature. And furthermore, in this background geometry, we can show this one. That is, from the each shell, our particles emitted are due to the self-gravity. So this mechanism is similar to particle creation from accelerating beater in the textbook. And see, this J local is energy flux emitted from the each shell. It takes the form of one-dimensional thermal radiation of n degrees of freedom, n. And then we can see each shell region, this year one, behaves like a one-dimensional subsystem in the local equilibrium at this temperature T local. So this very simple formula is important because you see in the this has a precise coefficient h bar and 2 pi, and L is this L, right? And these arguments is only based on our geometry itself. So this thermal behavior can be applied to any degrees of freedom. Okay, this is the main part. So in this way, our system is in one-dimensional local equilibrium in the R direction. So we have one-dimensional Gibbs relation. Here, rho 1d, p 1d is defined are simply like this. So this one is, of course, 4D object, right? And times 4 pi r squared, this plays a role of 1D object. And this green one plays a role of equation of states. This comes from Einstein equation itself. So you assuming Einstein equation, we have this green relation. And putting 4 pi r squared to the both sides, we have this one. Then we can evaluate entropy density. I will explain step by step. Please follow me. And here, the first step, I just used Gibbs relation. And step two, I used equation of state. And the step three, I used the form of T local, this one. And a result of Einstein equation, low 1D here and here, right? So we get this one. And finally, I used the definition of capital L like this. And then the eta vanishes. So do you remember sigma behaves like n times Lp square? So entropy density is small sr root n over Lp, like this. So root n bit information packed into one proper Planck length, right? This is an intuitive understanding of this result. Then we integrate this quantity over the volume like this. And then we get this simple form. Here, this capital R is this box. So we can get this one. This order one correction is, of course, coming from this one. But we are now considering the large black hole. Large black hole means black hole has a large mass. So we can neglect this second term. So we can get precisely entropy area rho. So the point is here, sigma, this sigma and this sigma cancel out. And then we get coefficient 1 over 4. What happens? Let's review our argument. In section 1, we just used Bekenstein's argument and our two assumptions. And then we demand the entropy of interior degrees of freedom proportional to area rho, just proportional. And then we get this one. In section two, on the obtained background geometry, we have done usual quantum field theory. This argument, this logic is in some sense similar to Hawking's original argument, because he is considered Schrödinger's metric as a background, and then he did covered space time and reached Hawking radiation. Of course, the argument is time dependent background. It is more difficult, but in the other argument is a similar step anyway. And then we reached local thermality at this temperature. The point is here. Here, we just demand proportionality. But here, we get a precise coefficient of the local temperature. This one and our thermodynamic curation gives precise coefficient, this entropy density. Then we get a precise formula, coefficient 1 over 4. In this sense, the calculation is so non-trivial. Okay, this is the final section. I don't have enough time. The question is, then, does that metric satisfy semi-classical Einstein equation? Yes. So for simplicity, we consider conformal matter fields. Just for simplicity. And in that case, you know, our trace part is very special because trace part of energy momentum tensor is given by anomaly, right? Conformal anomaly. And this conformal anomaly is geometrical object because F and G and Laplacian R is just a square of curvature, right? And these coefficients C, A, D are just a number which determine the matter content of the theory. Intuitively, they represent degrees of freedom of matter fields. So this equation is state-independent equation. So in this sense, this equation is very powerful restrict our semi-classical dynamics independent of quantum state. in this sense, this equation is so universal. Here, I have a question for your question, right? This equation is coming from four-dimensional dynamics, not the two-dimensional dynamics. In the two-dimensional case, conformal anomaly is proportional to just R, right? Proportional to a curvature. But in this 4D case, anomaly is proportional to R squared. So this difference comes from UV divergence structure of the theory in the 4D case and the 2D case. So through 4D dynamics is important for this form, entropy anomaly formula. Okay, by using our Intellia metric, we can evaluate both sides independently, right? So left-hand side is just a trace of Einstein tensor. This is a leading value. And the right-hand side is, this is a leading one. So leading one comes from only here, a wild curvature square. And then you can find the self-consistent value of sigma. As you can see, this CW plays a role of this capital N. This CW counts, in some sense, degrees of freedom in the theory. And furthermore, we need to evaluate eta, another free parameter. To do that, we calculate, renormalize energy momentum tensor in the background geometry and in the state, excited state at this temperature. Yes.
What happened to R dependence? You don't have R dependence.
Yeah. Of course, I neglect R dependence because R dependence is subleading. But noble R square is appearing R is subleading. So leading is order one.
As you approach the origin, R becomes zero. So you're saying you're not close to the origin. You're saying.
Sorry.
At the origin, at R equals to zero, this blow up.
Yeah, I know. But you see, and our approximation is valid for large R, right? Yes. Please remember this region. Yeah.
But you're saying these are. If you're in that regime, then the right-hand side and left-hand side they're both independent of R?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the point is the both sides are balanced, right? And then you can get the consistent value sigma. Then our story is consistently work. Okay, in evaluating eta, we need to evaluate renormalize energy momentum tensor. But this program is usually very difficult. However, we can do it by a dimensional regularization and some perturbative calculation explicitly. In this way, the full four-dimensional dynamics of the degrees of freedom induces a large acceleration and a large pressure and a large curvature. Yes, and this is the final slide. And I will mention a little bit about the Hawking temperature. As we have seen, Intellia has this local temperature, T local. So let's put our bound state into a heat bath. And then suppose the system is in equilibrium. Then we can apply Tolman's law. Then we can get from here to here the redshift, considering the redshift. And then we get this temperature. Okay, finish. We have considered a black hole as a bound state of many semi-classical degrees of freedom. And this picture indeed realized R is a self-consistent solution of a semi-classical Einstein equation, this one. And it has a surface, and the position is here. And instead, it has no horizon or singularity. The area rho are holds universally for any degrees of freedom. But here are the this Einstein equation plays our key role are in are changing the entropy from the volume low to the area rho. So as a result, the information itself is stored inside, but the value of information amount is given by surface area. So this result will make us to reconsider what the holography is. So we have many discussions. So and one is how plausible is the configuration? That is, why can we put that assumptions to assumptions, right? So one possible path to understand the question is on we consider the problem from the viewpoint of entropy bound. Or based on my previous works, we can see the two assumptions are natural. For example, we can consider semi-classical time evolution of spherical collapsing matter, including back reaction from particle creation. That the point is this particle creation occur during a collapsing process, not after formation horizon, right? So because particle creation occurs generically in the time-dependent geometry, even though there is no horizon. So including such back reaction, we can reach similar picture. And other discussions are there, but I will skip. And in the section one, we have constructed interior metric from the distribution of entropy. I think that method could be useful to study our interior structure of the black hole. And microscopic counting is needed. So, but partially it is possible. Already it is appeared, but fully satisfactorily our counting is not yet. And yeah, this is the final comment. And in this picture, degrees of freedom with physical information is living inside. And in that region, the same region, particle creation occurs. So, and you see, and some physical information is here, and around here, a particle is also emitted. So, if there is interaction between them, information should exchange. Then, are this particle creation with physical information is emitted to outside in the evaporation process? I think that is one possibility to resolve information problem. Some discussion is already up here. Please see it. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have more questions.
I just wanted to make a comment that you made a lot of assumptions in terms of this maximum acceleration and things like that, but in terms of the derivation of the entropy, I mean, we've shown that as long as you satisfy Einstein equation and you assume on-rule temperature, the rest of the assumptions don't really matter because those two kind of combine to give you Bacon and Snow-Hawking entropy, even though, I mean, the assumptions may be very different. You assume on-rule temperature and Einstein equation, then basically you could do this for any matter distribution that satisfies these two assumptions.
Mm.
And and then get the back end Snohomovsky entropy. So I'm just saying that, I mean, I think yours is very nice because you can get a very, very simple metric. So that's what I like about it. But I don't think that's necessarily very important as long as the for the derivation of Hawking, there could be other assumptions you make, as long as there's only temperature and Einstein equation that give you the same result. So that's that. I can send you the paper that we did this.
Thank you. Yeah. So in the about the Unruh temperature on here. I just used for simplicity Unruh temperature. However, without it, we can show the same temperature appears as a result of dynamics, right? Using Einstein equation, right? So in that sense, our discussion is essentially independent of the assumption of Unruh temperature. That is my comment.
Do you think you can derive it from?
Sorry?
You can derive Unruh temperature from dynamics, you said.
Yeah, if you like, please call it just Unruh temperature, but I'm just saying this T local here, that same value can be obtained by considering formation process directly. And this formation, of course, depends on time. This time dependence gives explicitly this temperature. Yeah, in this sense, yeah. So, but you see, and it is difficult to control time-dependent system, so I have to use some explicit model, right? So I want to remove such model dependence, and I will give my story more simply, but just by using a formula, as a formula, under temperature, so I gave that story, yes. But thank you very much for your comment.
Okay, any more questions?
Does this apply to radius black hole as well?
Oh. Thank you. As you can see, and in this argument, basically, local point of view, right? So I don't use a global point of view, right? So related to ADS boundary. So to get candidate metric, I think ADS structure would not be related, I think. However, to get the solution value, you see, here, a self-consistent value of sigma. Here, sigma. In this case, our cosmological constant term appear in the equation. Then that maybe contribute to the value. So if this naive expectation works, then the same picture would work, I think. But I'm sorry, I'm not sure yet.
Okay, if there is no more question, let's thank Yuki again.
Thank you very much.